blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing the fifth stanza of Psalter number 73. My heart had failed in fear and woe, unless in God I had believed, assured that he would mercy show, and that my life his grace should know, nor was my hope deceived. The fifth stanza of Psalter 73.
This afternoon's service can be found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, there of the 7th chapter, the first 15 verses. Isaiah chapter 7, but first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe an holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah chapter 7. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou, and Shear-Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And say unto him, Take heed, and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted. For the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria, and of the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us now read the form for the administration of holy baptism, which can be found on page 126 in the back of your Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, in so much that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This the dipping in, or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins, and the daily renewing of our lives till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal, an undoubted testimony, that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou will be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now ask the parents to please arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Alleman? Father and Mother Arnold Dusen? Father and Mother Bredewech? Father and Mother Busicum? Father and Mother Hogeveen? And Father and Mother Van Heichenbos. Dear parents, we have just heard read out of God's word. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. What a show of piety. If you wish, mothers, you may sit. What a show of piety. I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord, just like he was, parents, a God-fearing man, and he was no God-fearing man at all. There was, of course, truth in what he said, because we have to be careful if we ask for a sign. We know that Gideon did that, and he asked that the Lord would give him confidence through a sign, but that was a very special work, and that Gideon was called to do. And we have to be very careful, though we may ask the Lord for guidance, but that we do not prescribe to God just how he has to show to us this way or that way. The Lord knows how to show unto a man and is able to convince a man how to walk in the midst of this life. Was that then a right answer of Ahab? I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. That was not a right answer. Why not? Because Ahab was full of unbelief. It was wicked unbelief. Ahab knew what he wanted. He did not want to follow the Lord. He wanted to trust in the king of Assyria. And therefore he had no desire that the Lord would show unto him his way and confirm that showing with a sign. So here we have not a man asking the Lord for a sign, but the Lord offering unto man a sign. Why would the Lord do such a thing? Well, because the Lord delights in faith. The Lord delights when a man hangs on him, when he believes in him, what he says, that he also will do it. And when a man will trust, that is then the delight of the Lord, and he is willing then to give helps. That is what we read here. The Lord is going to give a sign anyway, even though Ahaz refuses it. And the Lord rebukes Ahaz because he refuses his sign. The Lord says, I will give it anyway. Not for you, Ahaz, because you are now going to stand on the outside of it. But he says, I am going to give it to my people. That was for the people then, and it will be for God's people even unto the end of the world, for the true church. Thus the Lord is giving helps unto his people. For faith, you say, why? Because the Lord knows how difficult that faith is, true faith. That is not just faith that man speaks about, but to really believe it in his heart. That is not something easy, and the Lord will give now a sign, which is something outward that we can see for our temporal eyes to see, to help us to believe. But now what is necessary for us to receive that help from that sign? Say, if that water was now given by men, an institution of the consistory, say, that will not help you to believe. Say, that is just for man. But in order to help a man to believe, then it is necessary that we know that it is a divine institution. Thus baptism, we do not baptize because we assume that a child is elect. No, we baptize because the Lord commands it. And why does the Lord command it? Because he has his elect, he says, among us. That is why he commands it. And he says to that elect, this belongs. The substance belongs to him, and now the form belongs to him. We do not know who they are. We don't know who they are. Is that your child? Is that your child? No, the Lord says that we, for those members who confess my name, we must baptize each and every one of them, and I'm going to give to my elect among them what belongs to them, what belongs to them. And the rest are going to receive it to the increase of their condemnation because of their own fault, because of their own neglect, and also because of the neglect of their father and their mother, perhaps. And that is why you have made this promise. And then the Lord also makes a promise that when you will now do it, that the Lord will confirm what he says, and that he will bless the labors of your hands. Parents, that sign is given to whom? It is given to God's people. It is a sign to help faith, true saving faith. Do you have faith? Do you have true saving faith? Do you say no? Then we say, why not? Why not? Because do we not live so easy without faith? Is it not so taken for granted that we may come here and make use of a sacrament that is meant for God's true people? And then is it so easy that we can travel over this world just as a member of the church and that we lack the substance? Oh, the Lord give you to seek to know what the blessings are as we have heard them out of that blessed form, the blessings for the true church of God, that you may desire them with your children and that you may receive for yourselves all together the true blessing that is signified in baptism. A congregation, while the children are brought in, we ask you to sing Psalter 425, the fourth stanza. And after baptism, we ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 425, the fifth stanza. So 425, verse 4, stanza 4, ye seed from Abraham descended, to whom his favors were extended, and Jacob's children, whom the Lord has chosen, hearken to his word. He is Lord, our judge divine, in all the earth his glory shines. Stanza 4 of 425. Rowan James, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Carter Ryan, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Brantley Rainier, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Olivia Jo, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Evelyn Lucinda, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Travis Hendrick, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ. And manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. And whereas thou dost use means to do this most supernatural work, O give unto each and every one of these parents what is necessary both in body and in mind, and especially in their hearts, to bring up these children which thou hast entrusted unto them for thy glory and for thy honor, that they may be restrained from leading them by the hand into the midst of this world and all that it serves and enjoys in its enjoyments here below. That Satan, who is the prince of this world, does seek also our youth in. Lord, give them discretion, give them wisdom, give them faith, give them hearts of love, of true charity. Draw their souls after the true and the living God, that it may be evident in the midst of their families, in their walk and in their conversation, and in the midst of the congregation and in the midst of the world in which we live, to be a testimony of that which we and they do confess out of thy holy word of truth, of the true and living God and all that he has accomplished through his Son, Jesus Christ, for the deliverance and for the salvation from sin of those who cannot deliver themselves from the guilt of it and from the pollution of it and from serving it. Oh, that it may be also sought after, lived, desired, and experienced in the life of each and every one of our parents. Remember their parents, also the grandparents, the great-grandparents, and all the families. For once again, it is a special moment where there is application of water in all of thy, in thy will and good pleasure, to a person, to a child, to a human being whom we have confessed to be conceived in and born in sin, dead, with no spiritual life, filthy and polluted, and that sign, that water, that fountain, all give a little faith, true faith, in the hearts of those who mourn because of their own iniquity, that they may be given for a moment to behold thy covenant, O Lord, that they might see it with the clarity of true and saving faith, that it may give a little relief upon their journey in that warfare that they are called to fight, and a battle that they must lose continually. But in that warfare which is won, oh, that they may receive a little rest therein, in this thy holy Sabbath day, when that institution that thou hast given may be administered publicly and visibly in the midst of our flock. Oh, look upon the children of the congregation, O Lord, they may see it with their eyes. They are young. Thou knowest the cry of thy servant. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. Then he went back to his youth and to his childhood. Oh, that thou would watch over all of our children and our youth, that they may be kept from the wiles of the devil, and that thou, with thy spirit, which is almighty and stronger than the devil, and may renew them to a new life, and that there may be hope, and that is given unto those who have no hope this day, when that fountain is opened to their eyes. Oh, may it be to the eyes of their soul. Look upon us in this hour. Separate us for a few moments under the preaching of thy holy word that is always to accompany thy holy sacrament in explanation and in application. Wilt thou take away all drowsiness, and that will clothe a man with rags, and wilt thou give attention, and wilt thou give help to speak words and matters, and wilt thou feed thy people, give new ones to be born in Zion, both old and young here below, while we are still upon our journey, and before that it is forever and eternally too late. Forgive and take away all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter number 55, all the stanzas. The Lord my shepherd holds me within his tender care, and with his flock he folds me. No want shall find me there. And what follows in stanzas 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 55. congregation, the words of our text for this hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Isaiah chapter 7, and thereof the second part of the 9th verse. Isaiah 7, verse 9b, "If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established." So far, the words of our text, a solemn exhortation to the trembling. And first, we want to see the trembling, and second, the exhortation, a solemn exhortation to the trembling. First, the trembling, second, the exhortation. The trembling, what do we read? "And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind." Thus, children, just like when you look outside and it is very windy outside, and then you see the trees, and then they are blowing, they're going back and forth. The trees moving with the wind. Those trees are, as it were, trembling. And that is not just a little trembling, but is speaking here about a very great trembling. Thus, there is a very great fear. Who is afraid? That is Ahaz. He is the king of Judah. And we read also the heart of his people is also trembling. That is speaking about the people of Judah, or maybe particularly about the advisors, those who are the very closest unto King Ahaz. Why are they afraid? "It came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim." Thus, Rezin, the king of Syria, is confederate. He has made a league. He has made an agreement. He has made a contract with another king. And that is with the king of Israel, Pekah, the son of Remaliah. They cannot prevail against Judah. So now we are going to put all of our forces together, and we are now going to overcome them, because we are not able to do that alone. That's why would Ahaz be so afraid of that? Well, because it is a threat. It is a threat to the existence of the kingdom of Judah. And it is a threat to his own existence, not only his reign to be king, but also his life. Thus, he is afraid that he is going to die. Are you ever afraid? And what are you afraid of? Because the Bible says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That is, congregation, our ultimate enemy, the ultimate punishment that the Lord is bringing upon us because of our sin. And that makes, when that is coming, we have a message, and we hear that message. It says, "Set down thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Then it also makes our heart to tremble, just like the trees of the wood are trembling with the wind. That is ultimately where all of our fear in this life comes from. It is the fear of death. And every premonition, every foreboding, everything that looks toward death, every sickness, every disease, every accident, all those things we are fearing because we are fearing what is coming out of it. And then we are fearing death itself. And then it is actually not only death, but it is also what comes after death, because Paul says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. That is what we hear from Bunyan's Pilgrim. Because, congregation, if dead is dead, then what is there to fear? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. All mankind is aware, painfully aware, that dead is not dead. Because it is evidenced by fear that is living in every man in the midst of this world. When does that fear begin? Because we have seen all these little children, and how many of us could notice anything of fear in these little children when they are laying in the arms of their father, laying in the arms of their mother. Then we detect, then we see, we observe, we perceive that there is in them no fear. Are they not surrounded with all kinds of dangers? Disease, accident, maybe abuse, neglect, all kinds of things. You say, but they don't know about it. They're not aware. And as they begin to grow, and as they become aware of all of the dangers that do threaten their life, then they begin to feel a certain need that they will protect their life and that it will not die. Isaiah here speaks about being established, to be established. What is that? That is to be made steadfast. That is like a pillar. That is sure. That is to be established. We say that belongs, to be established, belongs to the most advanced of the true children of God within that church of God. But what is the effect of being established? That is to be made like a child again. That is to be brought back, as it were, to the very beginning, to be made peaceful, to be made restful, and to have all the uncertainty and all of our fear to be taken away. The apostle says, there remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. When is that? You say that is in heaven. That is right. But it doesn't begin in heaven. No, it is a rest. It is a confidence that is beginning already here upon the earth. And that, congregation, is a great advancement. Advancement in what? To be made like a child is an advancement. Is that an advancement in ignorance? Certainly not. Because the Lord is instructing His church. And then they are gaining knowledge. Or is that then an advancement in not knowing? Cannot be. But it is an advancement in knowledge. And despite knowledge of everything that is possible to come against me, knowing that when we grow up children, not just like a baby who doesn't know, but like a young person who begins to learn and more and more and more. Thus, with all the threats, knowing those threats, and then to become as a little child. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, except ye be converted and become as a little children, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Thus, as little children. So in what way like a little child? Like a little child is so ignorant, you say? No, it cannot be. Like a little child is so innocent. Is that true, boys and girls? Those little children, are they so innocent? So often the world says that, right? But it's not true. You know better, right? Because we are not born into this world innocent. And you are going to see your little brother, your little sister. Soon you are going to see that he does not have an innocent heart. That he has a bad heart just like you and just like me. It is a wicked heart. No, then, it is not innocence. It is not ignorance that a person needs to become as a little child. But what is it? Well, to become as a little child who is so dependent, who is so trusting, who is just laying there, just laying there in the arms of father and of mother. Now that is what Isaiah says here, the Lord says by Isaiah, if ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. That brings us to our second thought. The exhortation, Ahaz's congregation is a wicked king. There is no fear of God before his eyes. He has abandoned the worship of God, supposedly not abandoning the worship of God, but just changing the way, he would say, that we worship God and setting up the idols so he can worship God through them, and even taking his sons and passing his own sons through the fire. That is the way that those heathen worshipped. Thus he sacrificed them. And then death is set before his own eyes. And when death is set before his own eyes, then his heart trembles. It shakes. Just like the trees we read, they are moved with the wind. You see now, young people, the consequence of departing from the Lord. That is fear, because Ahab had lots, plenty of religion, but it was not according to the word of the Lord and his commandments. And he was despising Isaiah, the true servant of the Lord. Isaiah says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. There is for them no peace. They may boast of peace, but they are not able to experience what true peace, what true consolation is, what it means to be established. It is impossible. According to the word of God, because it says here, they have no faith. Thus, rest and peace to be established, to be set on firm ground, to be grounded as it were, that is an evidence of faith. What does the Lord say? if ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Thus, if you are established, that means that you also must believe. Thus, faith, thus the establishment, the rest, the peace, that which is experienced, that is evidence of faith. Did you ever believe? How do you know? How do you know that it is true faith? How do you know that it is faith at all? I cannot tell you that. No man can tell you that. That is what is experienced. That is what you feel. That is what you know within your own heart by the fruits of faith. That a man is established, that he is given a certain rest, a peace, a confirmation, that he is given a certain ground to stand on. And when he will feel that for just one moment, then he may know that he has experienced, that he has exercised true saving faith. In his fear, Ahaz does not go to God. Where do you go, boys and girls, when you are afraid? Do you go on your knees? Ahaz did not go on his knees. His son did. Hezekiah, he went on his knees. Ah, that son, that boy, he put his father to shame, didn't he? How many of us fathers are put to shame by our children? How many of them may fear the Lord and draw nigh to him, and we would have to say, and that ourselves have never been brought to do that same thing. Ahaz did not seek the Lord, but the Lord came unto Ahaz. Oh, how long-suffering that the Lord is. Ah, the Lord also comes to us, doesn't he? Because we didn't bring ourselves in the church. No, most of us, it was our father and mother that brought us. That was the Lord who is bringing us in the way of his providence into that house of God and under the administration of his truth, of his word, of his sacrament. Oh, Ahaz has to give an account for this. And so do you and I. Do you know what the Lord knows? He knows that Ahaz is trembling. He knows that when you tremble too, boys and girls, if you are trembling, the Lord knows that you are trembling. Is that not something? The Lord has seen that also in Ahaz. And he has sent his servant to him, God-fearing man. And he will help him and try to help him, give him comfort and stability in this trembling. So where does Isaiah have to find Ahaz? He would not know where he is, but the Lord knows where he is. He knows where we are too. The Lord knew where Ahaz was too. When he was trembling, the Lord says to Isaiah, he is at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And what is he trying to do there? Well, he is trying to calm his trembling heart because he is afraid of the siege. When these two kings are going to come and surround Jerusalem, and thus he is going to take measures. He is going to devise means. He has gone to that upper pool, which is providing water for the city. And he is going to try to make sure that that enemy is not able to take away this very vital sustenance for that city. Is that a good thing that he does that? He say, of course it is. Because Ahaz is tied to means, just like you and I are tied to means. Solomon says that a prudent man will foresee the evil and he will hide himself. And so Ahaz is doing this also, that he is called to do, and you and I are also called to do. But Isaiah is sent to him, and he is sent to him with the word of God. And what must he say to him? He says, surely ye shall not be established by doing what you are doing. As good as it is, as necessary as it is, you cannot be established by it. You cannot take away the fear, the trembling that is living in your heart by everything that you are trying to do. Isaiah is commanded then to set something else before Ahaz. What is that? That is a promise. It is a promise, congregation, concerning the people of the Lord, God's own children. What does he say to him? Take heed and be quiet. Fear not. Neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of reason with Syria and of the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is reason, and within 75 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Damascus, that is the capital of Syria, that is ruled by reason. Then we have Samaria, that is the capital of Ephraim, of that 10 tribes, that is ruled by Pekah, the son of Remaliah. What does the Lord say here? He says to Ahaz, the enemies of God's people are plotting. They're plotting. They're speaking with one another. They're getting together, and they are plotting the destruction of my people. Ahaz, it will not happen. It will not happen. It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. And then Isaiah is also commanded to do something else. He has to bring with him his son. His son, his name is Shear-Jashub. And that boy has been given that name, Shear-Jashub, as a special name that is from the Lord. Because that boy is actually a sign. Water is a sign. It is a symbol. And that boy was a symbol. That name given by the Lord, that means a remnant shall return. It shall not be completely destroyed. It is impossible. And so Isaiah has to not only speak with his mouth, but he has to bring with him a sign, his own son, Shear-Jashub. And that boy has to be set there before Ahaz as he is there trembling because of the fears of all of the enemies of God's people. And now what does the Lord say? If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. You shall not receive any comfort. You shall not receive any rest. You shall never be set, as it were, upon a rock. You will not be able to continue at ease, O congregation. There are such great blessings that are to be received by the church of God, that are to be received by faith. If you will not believe, they are to be received by faith. They are great blessings, greater than the whole world. And they are blessings that the entire world and everything we are doing with our hands are not able to give unto us, because they are received by faith. They are heart blessings. That is freedom from fear. Freedom from fear. Would you ever think about that, children, boys and girls, when you are afraid? When you are afraid, that is the opposite of the word in our text here, to be established. That is to be without fear. Thus, that is something also now for you today, isn't it? Because maybe you say, I am often afraid. Ahaz did not believe. The only thing he believed was what he saw with his eyes. And he saw two armies. Those armies were so much greater and so much more powerful than his army. That is the army of Judah. And that is what now he believed. Because that is what he saw with his natural eyes. With all his religion, did not believe God. That was foolishness to him. He mocked with it in his heart. And because he mocked with it, he had no rest, he had no comfort, he had no establishment. How is that for us? Let us sing Psalter 21. The fourth stanza, Jehovah's promises are sure. His words are true. His words are pure. As silver from the flame, though base men walk on every side, his saints are safe, whate'er betide, protected by his name. The fourth stanza of Psalter 21. Congregation, how often is our heart not filled with anxiety, not filled with fear? We were not created that way. That is a consequence of our sin. And that is experienced that way too, isn't it? Because fear and anxiety is a very great burden for us as we go through this world. And now what does the Lord say? He says that without true saving faith, it is impossible for this to be taken away. If you will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. We try to establish ourselves, right? So many different ways. Maybe we don't say it, but in our hearts secretly, because Ahaz didn't say it all either. But Ahaz was secretly looking to the king of Assyria in order to establish himself, to calm himself. What do? To calm yourself and to take away your fears. Maybe you just say, I will not think about it today. How long will that calm your fears? You distract yourself with this world. But tomorrow, your fears come back again. And they only increase because you are only a day closer to standing before that judgment seat of God. Maybe you think sometimes to yourself, maybe it will not actually be as the Bible says that it is. Maybe it will be that there is no life after death. Maybe it will be that there is no judgment. Then with those thoughts you try to calm your trembling heart. Does that work? Does it take away your fear? Cannot. Bible says it will not. Because it is not faith. And without faith, the Bible says it is impossible. Maybe you say, maybe the Lord will not be quite as strict as our minister says, as God's word says. That is now the hope of many, many people. Persons that try to comfort themselves and try to establish themselves and try to calm themselves by saying, but God knows we are not perfect. And he will not hold us to every single word and every single thought and every single motive. No, he will just see us as I see myself in comparison to another man. It will be a relative judgment. And then I try to calm my fears. But it will not help. Because the Lord says, if ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. That is, young people, the same actually also in a natural way, isn't it? With natural things in this world, because modern scientists reject faith. They say faith that is not real, faith that is not helpful, that is only things that we see are true. That is foolish. And you may say to them, but you depend on it. You depend on natural faith every single day. Even yourself as a scientist, you get up in the morning, you step upon that ground, and you believe that it's going to not be slippery. Because yesterday it was not slippery. And today it will not be slippery either. And you depend on that. You trust that. That the world will continue and all the laws of nature, they all continue the same today as they have done yesterday. Modern science can renounce faith with their mouth. But they cannot renounce it in their scientific experiments. They cannot renounce it in their logic. It is impossible. But here we are not speaking about natural things, but that tells us sometimes, young people, what are the spiritual things that are sometimes very like the natural things. That is, it speaks here about the soul, the rest, the confidence of your soul. If you will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. You say, believe what? Do you say that? Do you say that, young people? Believe what? If you do, I'm very glad that you asked that question. Because there are so many in the world that do not ask that question. They only speak about believing. And then there is often such great confusion. Because there are so many that are believing things that they have no grounds to believe. If you say to a man that he must eat to live, and then he eats something poisonous and he gets sick and is going to die, then he says, but you told me I had to eat to live. Yes, but what? But what? Thus, it speaks here about believing, and there are millions of persons in the world that are believing that Christ died for them in particular. They say, the Bible says we must believe that. But that is not true. And thus that is not to life, that is to their death. We have to have a ground for believing everything naturally and also spiritually. It is not enough, young people. If we have done much good in this world, also in politics, political good, and been to the advantage of many, many people in this world, is that now sufficient when we have to die and to appear before God? Can we say then such a one is with the Lord because of this political good? That is no ground. That is no ground. Let us be careful. What is now the object of the faith here in our text? That is the promise of God concerning the safety of his own church. That is the same in baptism. The promise of God concerning the safety of his church, that is in the middle of all their enemies, no matter what comes against the true church of God, there is nothing that is able to prevail against that church of God to bring it to its destruction. It doesn't seem that way, because those enemies have power. And those enemies are much greater in their power than the church is. They're weak. They do not have wisdom to fight. They do not have strength to fight. And they also don't deserve to be protected. But despite everything, they cannot be overcome. Why? Because the Lord will not have it. That is why. Because the Lord will not have it. And he is sovereign. That is his decision. He is king. He says, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. That is the promise. That is the promise, parents. And the Lord will have that promise concerning that church to be proclaimed and displayed through sacraments, through the preaching, unto the end of the world to his church. Why? Well, because of the necessity of faith. Faith concerning that promise. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Thus those signs and those symbols, they are not only declaring the fact, they're also declaring how. They're speaking about blood. Shed blood upon that cursed tree. And now the devil, he is making that people afraid, tremble. Does he ever make you tremble? What does he say in your heart? He says, sin is indeed going to have dominion over you. You ever say that in your heart? In the end, sin is going to win. How many times does that not come in your heart? Those who fight a warfare every single day, and you say, ah, I cannot. It is so wretched. It is so miserable. And the devil says that you will lose it. You will lose it. That battle. Congregation, everyone fears to die. But everyone is not afraid of sin. Sin. Are you afraid of sin? Do you war with sin? And are you afraid that sin is going to be the victor when you're laying there on your deathbed, and that it will have overcome you, and that you will end in that place that will be forever and forever the punishment of your sin? Ah, does Satan magnify sin? What do you think, young people? Does Satan magnify sin? He cannot. He cannot. Because sin it cannot be magnified. It is greater than we see. The evil of it. And we can never see it actually as great as it is. But do you know what Satan can do and does do? He minimizes grace to the trembling of his people. But now in baptism, the Lord makes a declaration. He says there is a fountain every time again, there is a fountain opened to the house of David. And to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. That is unending. And now do you know what the Lord calls? So Ahaz and Judah, they have their eyes wide open in fear of this enemy. And what does the Lord call that enemy? Calls that enemy the two tails of smoking firebrands. What's a firebrand? It means to rake. You ever have a little campfire, children? Then you have a stick, and you rake that fire. You move those logs around. And what happens on the end of that stick? So it gets hot, right? Maybe a little flame, but it's not really burning. And what's it doing? It's hot. It gives a lot of smoke. And then it speaks here about the tale of a smoking firebrand. What does the Lord say about that enemy? He says it's all smoke. It's all smoke. That enemy is already, Ahaz. That fire is already put out. Smoke is there. You fear it. But my promise, in regeneration, congregation, that fire of sin, it's already put out. It's already put out. Almost. It's just hot on the end of that stick. Pretty soon it's going to be done. All done. What Solomon says, that silver cord is going to be loosed. And when that silver cord is loosed, and when that golden bowl is broken, then it'll be all done. And also the smoke that is going to be completely gone. His grace, congregation, his grace, the Lord says, that is as wide as the ocean, and you do not need to let the devil whisper in your ear anything else, because it is not according to the word of God. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Are you old? Are you old? Not so many in here that are old. And if you are old, is that you say a reason that it is so impossible? Don't wait till you're old, boys and girls. Don't wait till you're old. Because when you're old, then that day is approaching very, very fast. And then the fears that are in your heart, they are increasing because there is so little time left. Oh, don't wait till you're old. Is that not possible when we are old? The Lord yet says, he speaks. We know that thief, he said to him, Lord, remember me. He could not make it right anymore. He could not make it right. His hands, they are spread out on that cross. Life behind him. Done wrong with those hands. Done wrong with those feet. The only thing he could do was say, Lord, wilt thou forgive me? Wilt thou forgive me? Is that all you can do? You know what the Lord said? Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. If you will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. You have a heart of stone? You have a heart of stone? Can you not break it? In other words, what? You cannot raise yourself from the dead, right? Can you not? Is that what you wake up with? Is that what you go to bed with? You know what the Lord says? I will take that stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. If you will not believe, surely shall not be established. Are you corrupt? Say, I cannot fix it. It is over and again, every day again. Always the same thing. Now we read in God's word, the leper, couldn't cleanse himself either. It was a disease. Incurable. Is that so? Incurable. And then he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You ever say that? On your knees. So simple. right? So simple. You know what the Lord said? I will. I will. Be thou clean. Ah, if you will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Look for comfort, congregation. Look for stability. Look for rest in no other place, because it cannot be found. Do you believe your misery? Do you believe you are without God in this world? If we do not believe this, we don't believe reality. And if we do not believe reality and what is true, we can never be established. We can never receive that true comfort. Do you believe the promise of the Lord to sinful people? You believe that? What the Lord says? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Do you believe that? If you will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. What does Paul say? He says this is a faithful saying and worthy, worthy congregation of all acceptation, worthy of being believed. Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. If you will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. And if you may know, just a moment, what that is to be established. Ah, for the trembling to stop. And then to feel something of that ground, of that refuge, and to be hidden there for just a moment. It is so often for that true church, just a moment. Ah, then you have the evidences in your life that you indeed have believed. Oh, the Lord bless and sanctify word and sacrament to true saving faith, that we also may be established upon those principles and upon those grounds that the Lord has laid for his own church. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it can only come from thee. It is but a few words, but it has a significance for every one of us, both young and old, as we are traveling to meet thee. Teach us, O Lord, draw our souls after thee, and give us true saving faith, forgiving all of our many, many sins. And wilt thou dismiss us with thy blessing? Help us each one in the place thou hast given us in this world in the week to come, keeping us from danger and harm, accident from sin, and help the consistory in our meeting and all that must take place also in this week. And wilt thou watch over and protect and bless the work of our hands. Give meditation upon the word of truth for Jesus' sake. Amen. 362. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. And what follows, 1, 2, and 3 of 362. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.